Welcome, you guys. That was awesome. The praise team. Wasn't that good? Praise the Lord. That was awesome. It's funny that Kristen would say do-over. Because we are studying the book of Jonah, the ultimate do-over, right? So let's, they did it on purpose, right? Did that on purpose. Well, let's pray and then let's open our Bibles and let's get in the Word today. And Kristen said that I said that I had a short message. So they had a long song set. It has been brought to my attention that there's some wagering going on about this. So we're going to see if these gamblers are tithers or not. We'll see how that works. So, who's in the nursery? Oh, service is over, y'all. Well, let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for your goodness, Lord, for your blessings, Lord, that we can come together and gather in your name, Lord, and lift up our voices in praise to you because you are so worthy of our praise. Lord, you are an awesome, awesome God. And Father, thank you for do-overs. Father, thank you for restoration. That's what we're going to be looking at today. And so we're just excited to get into your word. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to our hearts. We ask that you would make application of your word to our lives, Lord, as we apply it. Father, now we just open up our Bibles and we give you our attention. And show us great and awesome things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you're visiting with us, if you haven't been to Lighthouse before, working our way through the Bible, and we're in the Old Testament book of Jonah. Jonah, that whale of a tale that people say sounds a little fishy, but it's actually one of the most amazing stories in the Bible. In fact, Jesus told the religious people of his day that it was Jonah's life that proves that he, Jesus, is the Messiah. And we're going to look at some scriptures here in a minute to do all of that. And so we started it last week. We got through chapters 1 and 2. I'm not going to re-preach all of that. If you weren't here for that, and if any of it intrigues you, you can order a copy of that. We have them on CDs, or we have podcasts going on. We've got a lot of different ways of keeping up with our lessons and stuff, so you can catch up with that. And we're up to chapter 3, but before we get into the actual text, I want to read once again verse 10, which is the last verse of chapter 2. What has happened is Jonah has disobeyed God and he fled from what God told him to do. And God sent a storm while he's asleep on the boat and all this activity is going on the boat. And so they find out that they have to throw Jonah over the boat in order to calm the storm and save their lives. So they did that. And that's when we get into the very familiar story that most people only think this is the only part of the book of Jonah. When the great fish came and swallowed him. Remember that? And what I told you is the most important thing about that great fish is in verse 17 of chapter 1 where it says, "And the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah." For the overhead, please, could I have 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We looked at this last week, but we're going to kind of emphasize it again this week. "For it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Friends, God has got something great planned and prepared for you. And just like this fish, it'll be greater than you ever thought. It'll just be different than you ever imagined. And it'll be awesome, right? So we're looking at that word prepared. Now, drop down with me to chapter 2. We see in chapter 2 that Jonah prayed from inside the belly of the whale, right? And he repents. Notice the last line of verse 9 of chapter 2. He says, "Salvation is of the Lord." Isn't that awesome? That's the message of the Bible right there. Salvation is of the Lord. But let's look at verse 10 of chapter 2 as we start our lesson. "So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." And friends, there's just no easy, pleasant way of painting that picture. He just barfed him off. And Ralph, whatever word you want to use, it's just not a pleasant thing, right? Well, I got thinking about this and thinking of all the lessons that we learned from Jonah. And one of the things about when you study the Bible, I don't know if you guys are like me, but I like to visualize it and kind of try to put myself there and kind of see what's happening and all this. Well, something dawned on me. You know, What happened to the fish? Afterwards. God prepared this great fish to do a great job. And then what happened? Well, it dawned on me we can learn some things from the perspective of the fish. So I want to just share with you five quick things from the perspective of the fish that will help us. Because remember, God has prepared great things for us to do, right? So we can learn some things from the fish. Just bear with me and then we'll get into the text. And we will get out of here early today. We really were. Daylight savings time's in effect, right? Hey, I got to tell you something about all the candy that's coming in. Believe it or not, I am. Kelly and I are going on vacation the end of next month, and I'm trying to lose 10 pounds by then, and I'm tearing up those little box of dots that keep coming in. That's the best candy. They stick on your teeth, so you get to enjoy them for like an hour, you know, and it just, And I saw more dots come in. I'm like, temptation. God, give me something great to do for your kingdom. Quit eating dots. Oh, man, give me something realistic, God, right? Let's look at the lessons of the fish. You guys with me? The first lesson we learned from the fish that we can apply to our lives when we're serving God is, first and foremost, God's will is not always glamorous. God's will is not always glamorous. Parts of God's will for our lives might be difficult, might be painful, might be very unpleasant. I can't imagine for a fish it would be all that pleasant to swallow a man whole. But please remember, in our Christian walk, in our Christian life, most days are days of what I call maintenance, not days of miracles, right? I mean, how many of you know that the grind of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then there's the high of Sunday, right? It's football season. Now, you guys know what I'm saying, right? There's more maintenance in our Christian walk than the miraculous. Now, let's don't discount the miraculous. That's what it's all about, right? God is doing some great and awesome and mighty things. But friends, when God took Jeremiah down to the potter's house, very familiar story, and God says to Jeremiah, "What's this potter doing?" And Jeremiah's looking, he's forming this pot, and then he's forming it and all that. And Jeremiah says, "Well, he's making a pot." And God says, "Well, that's what I do." Friends, a lot of times we feel like we're just on that spinning wheel that we call life, right? And as he saw the potter squeezing, pulling, molding, right? God says, "This is what I'm doing to you." And friends, sometimes we feel like we're just going round and round and round and round. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like you're just treading water, not getting anywhere? Be cool, because God's still in control. He's just molding you. He's forming you, right? It's all part of his plan. And sometimes God's will just isn't that glamorous. But the time is coming when it will happen. The second thing we learn from the fish that we can apply to our life is don't let the difficulty of your circumstances keep you from obeying God. Bear with me with this a little bit. It says here that the fish vomited Jonah up onto the dry land, right? How many of you know that fish and dry land don't go well together? Right? I mean, a big, great fish needs big, great water, right? But sometimes God asks us to do something that might be out of our comfort zone to get his will accomplished. Friends, this is a great truth that I was taught many years ago, and that is Ron Hembry, wonderful man of God who really helped me a lot get in the ministry. He used to say this. He used to say, "Everybody wants to serve God as long as it's in an advisory capacity." Right? No one wants to be the servant, but man, we're willing to be the advisor, right? Well, sometimes God calls us to a servant position. And sometimes God puts us in circumstances that might not be all that pleasant, but don't let that circumstance keep you from obeying God, right? God tells you to do something, he is then responsible for the results, for it getting done. All we have to do is to do our part. The third lesson we learned from the fish here kind of goes along with the second one, but a little bit different. It's this: don't let things that confuse you discourage or stop you. That fish probably didn't understand why God wanted him to swallow a man. Gideon didn't understand why God would tell him to take on this great army that couldn't be numbered with so few men. In fact, God said, you have too many men. Well, we're already outnumbered 100-1. Yeah, that's too many. Then God sends Gideon into battle with no weapons. You just take a trumpet, a torch, and a clay pot, and I'll give you the battle. Now, the key to that is, if clay's on your side, you'll win. Oh, come on, people, work with me here. I'm talking about a fish. I'm talking about a fish here. God can sometimes be puzzling, amen? He can sometimes can be puzzling. God told Abraham, after waiting all these years for this promised son, he tells Abraham, go sacrifice that son on the mountain. Okay. Joshua and his guys are going into the promised land. The first thing they see are the impregnable walls of Jericho. So, man, we got to mount an attack on Jericho. We need some battling rams, and we need some of them hook things that you throw over like Batman uses and all that kind of stuff, right? Because we got to get over the walls. God says, oh, here's what you do. You just walk around the walls. Have the priests play their trumpets, right? Sometimes God gives us some puzzling directions, but don't let what you don't understand stop you or discourage you from doing what God has told you to do. The fourth thing we learned from the fish is don't be surprised by what or how God works. The fish had an upset stomach for 3 days. He didn't know that part of his dinner was part of God's plan. Here's the sub point. God may use pain and discomfort in our life for his purposes. The great Chuck Colson, who's now in heaven, he was part of the whole Watergate thing and all that stuff. Remember when back in the day when bad politicians really got sent to jail and all that stuff? Well, he found Christ in jail, and he started prison fellowship, and he used to tell the prisoners this: it's at your lowest moment that God may be preparing you for his greatest work. So here this fish for 3 days. Now, how do you know he had an upset stomach for 3 days? Because he barfed. Which brings us to the fifth thing and last thing. There's always a delight and blessing from obeying God. Here this fish is in discomfort, but he's doing what God has asked him to do. But now once he delivers the product, so to speak, now he feels good and can swim off. God used a great fish to do a great work to bring about a great revival. What rewards await you for you supporting the work of God? You know, we here at Lighthouse, we're considered a small church, but you know, we support missionaries around the world. What will our rewards be? Won't that be awesome to see what part we had? Let's move on here. This brings, I'm out of the fish points. Now let's get back to Jonah. Jonah chapter 3. You guys with me here? Okay, Jonah chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Very interesting. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Ah, those do-overs. Aren't those great? Isn't restoration just the most awesome thing? Okay, here's the point. Well, Jonah has just spent 3 days in the dark, and it couldn't have smelt very good. According to his prayer, he thought it was all over. It was lost. He was dead. He was done, right? But all those 3 days, guess what was happening? Jonah thought his life was going nowhere, but the fish was swimming. The fish was swimming. And where was the fish going? The fish was going to the place that God had called him to be. For the overhead, very familiar portion of Scripture, but we need to remember it. Romans 8:28. Please remember this. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. God brought Jonah back to the place Jonah was supposed to be. Right? That's where he was supposed to be. So when Jonah thought it was all over, God has given up, I'm a lost cause, I'm hopeless, there's nothing I can do, guess what? God delivers him right to where God wanted him to be. Friends, let me give you a word of encouragement. You have not screwed up so much that God has given up on you. Isn't that a great thought? We're told in the book of of Romans that the gifts and calls of God are without repentance. In other words, God knew you would mess up, but he still called you. Don't you think God knew David would do some of the bonehead things David did, but he still called David? Right? Oh, the do-overs. Restoration. Restoration. Revelation 2:5 for the overhead, please. Where God brought him back. Here's a great principle for us, friends. Excuse me. Jesus is talking to the churches. Excuse me, I thought I was going to cough again. And he says, therefore, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Okay. Realize where you messed up. Jonah, where did you mess up? Well, I got on a boat going to Tarshish when I was supposed to be on the road to Nineveh. Remember where you have fallen. Repent. Very important. We saw in chapter 2, he did that in the belly of the whale, right? Repentance is very important. Why is that? Because we are acknowledging what we've done wrong. We're acknowledging, God, you're smarter than me. God, okay, I messed this up, but God, with you, all things are possible. Repent. Now look what he says. And do the first works. In other words, get back to work. Jonah, he spoke to him a second time, and look what he tells him in verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. What did we learn in chapter 1, verse 2? Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. God's plan, God's message didn't change just because Jonah took a little sidetrack, right? He kept the message the same. Here's some examples of renewal. Abraham fled to Egypt when God told him to stay put. God gave him another chance. Jacob lied to his father Isaac, but God restored him. Moses killed a man, but yet God called him to be the nation's leader. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, yet Jesus forgives him and restores him. The list goes on and on. King David, John Mark, the list goes on, right? You can add our names. Here's the point I want to make from that. The point that I want to make from that is, although we have the wonderful and encouraging examples of people being forgiven and restored in the Bible, we must not allow them to be excuses for us to sin. Big difference. There's a big difference between willful disobedience and a mess up, right? The person who says, I can go ahead and sin because I got 1 John 1:9, okay? That's not the purpose of that. We can't use that as an excuse to sin. All right, back to the text. Now it's going to kind of speed up here. Chapter 3, verse 2, God speaks to him the second time, says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. If you're taking notes other than the fish notes, here's the Jonah notes. First one is, our delays don't divert God's directions. Our delays don't divert God's directions. He's putting them back on the path, says, okay, let's get back to the job at hand. Here's what I told you to do. Here's what I want you to do. It's time to get with it. Also notice, if you would please, that he says, you preached with the message that I have given to you. Friends, let's remember that we're just in sales, not in management. Our job is to preach the Word of God, not our own opinions and our own thoughts, right? So you make sure you preach what I tell you to. So verse 3, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. Here's the second point. Don't let your past failures stop your future ministry. Don't let your past failures or your past successes. There are some Christians who had one great miracle happen and they can't get past it. They keep going back to it. And it's like, hey, let's move on. God's got a whole promised land out there, right? So don't let a past victory stop you as much as a past failure. You guys kind of with me on that? So he gets up and he goes according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey. Now, it was great. It was great in wickedness. It was great in sin. Chapter 1 taught us that. But it was also great in size. So, a 3-day journey. A lot of commentators say this means it was probably up to 60 miles. Okay? If you could travel 20 miles a day, I'm not so sure, but they had to travel on foot. He probably couldn't rent a donkey because he didn't have his express card. Anyway, it was a big city. Verse 4, And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Here's how we know he walked. Then he cried out. Now here's the message that God gave to him to tell Nineveh. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. You got 40 days and that's it. Very interesting. 40 is the number of judgment in the Bible. And here they get 40 days. Not much of a message, is it? But look at the result, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed the word of God. And they proclaimed a fast, this voluntary going without food. And they put on sackcloth, this mourning garb, from the greatest to the least of them. So in spite of Jonah's bad attitude and in spite of all of this stuff, the word of God touches their heart. See, the word of God will have two reactions to the human heart. It will either soften it and receive it or harden it and reject it. Jesus says something very interesting. Matthew 12:41 for the overhead, please. Jesus verifies their repentance. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. Why? Because they, the men of Nineveh, repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. I'm going to end today with the same scripture. We'll go back to it. But Jesus verified the fact that they repented. Now, let's keep going here. In verse 6, and the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid aside his robe, and he covered himself with sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. Wow, a politician who cares about people. Here is a king who puts aside his satin robes and put on sackcloth. Here's a king that removed himself from the throne of royalty, and now he's sitting in ashes. Isn't that amazing? He goes from giving selfish orders to caring about the people's welfare. And he does it himself. In verse 7 it says, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, saying. Now, a great leader will put into laws and practices things that promote righteousness, not things that permit and encourage sin and evil. Remember that, because we got elections coming up. Clay, you said you weren't going to get political. I lied. I'm human. But he makes this a law, and look what he says. Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. That's the fast. Do not let them eat or even drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Jehovah here. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way. See, you can't just stop. I mean, you can't just do religious activities. You've got to stop the wicked activities. Okay? Just changing your clothes and going on a diet isn't going to do anything for you. You got to change the activity. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Now, verse 9 is kind of a sad verse. The king says, who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? I tell you who could have told him. Jonah. But this tells us Jonah didn't do it. All Jonah did was said, 40 days in judgment, 40 days in judgment, 40 days in judgment. Friends, we need to be careful that we give the whole message. Forcing your animals to go without food and water is not what God requires. Dressing your animals up in funky little clothing isn't what God requires, unless it's Halloween. But you guys see where I'm going? These people, they didn't know how do we get right with Jehovah. Well, we know these Hebrew people fast. We know they wear these mourning clothes when they're celebrating. So they're doing everything they can to get right with Jehovah. Friends, we as the church, we need to be very careful that we don't get so mad at the world that we just curse judgment on them and don't offer them the salvation that goes with it. Right? I mean, there's some evil and wickedness going on in the world, and I confessed this last week that some of the activities going on in parts of our world, I'm wanting that judgment to come before 40 days. Right? That's the wrong attitude. Yes, we have to warn people that God won't put up with this stuff, and there'll come a day then that he's going to stop all this. But we have to give them the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The last thing Jonah said in the whale's belly was, salvation is of the Lord. Friends, that's just as much as part of the message as 40 days in doom. Right? So they're panicking, doing all they can. Let's do what we know how to do, and maybe God will see the sincerity in our hearts, which he does. Verse 10, then God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil ways. So it wasn't just a religious activity. They truly turned. And God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he didn't do it. Isn't that awesome? He didn't do it because they truly repented. They truly, truly changed. Now, let's go back to the pouting prophet here, our boy Jonah, chapter 4, right? The greatest revival in the Bible, a whole nation is turning to God, and it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. There's not a preacher alive that wouldn't want to be part of that. But it made him exceedingly angry. Verse 2. So he prayed to the Lord. This is his second prayer in this book. And he said, O Lord, was it not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please just take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. That is a pitiful prophet. Right? Let's look at his two prayers. The first prayer was his best prayer, but he prayed it in the worst place. His first prayer, his best prayer, was in the belly of a whale. It was the prayer of a broken heart, right? His second prayer was his worst prayer, prayed in the best place, in the middle of God's revival. But it was the worst prayer because he prays to die. And he prays out of an angry heart. You see the correlation there? How is your heart when we're praying? So he just asked God, surely as a young man, he prayed, God, use me. Now he's saying, God, kill me. And he's lucky he just admitted, God, you're a good, loving, kind God. Because if not, God might have, right? God, it's better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Now, I think this is fantastic. Because here we got God dealing with a repentant nation, and they were a horrible nation. They were very cruel. God is dealing with an entire nation, but God still loves one wayward prophet enough to deal with him kindly and one-on-one. Friends, John 3:16 is an amazing verse of Scripture, and I think we all know it. Let's say it out loud together, all right? John 3:16, for God so loved. God, do over. God so loved the world. It's easy for us to realize that God loves the world because he created the world, right? And he made us in his image. And yeah, our world is breaking his heart, but it's easy to see that he loves the world. But where it gets a little touchy for most of us is, I'm part of that world and he loves me. But maybe God doesn't understand what I've done. He does, and he still loves you. God loves you so much, he's got your picture in his wallet. My picture's on his refrigerator, because that's how much. But you got the wallet. But no, you see what I'm saying? God's got a whole revival going on, and he cares about these people because he doesn't want to destroy them. You see, God's main concern is mercy, not judgment. And sometimes us Christians, we get so caught up in wanting God's judgment that we forget the mercy, right? And God loves everyone so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And he loves you individually that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that just a great message? Let's keep going because I'm about done. I really am. So God says in verse 4, Jonah's having his little pity party. You guys ever throw pity parties? I throw the best pity parties. I am a pity party planner perfectionist, man. And so God shows up to Jonah's pity party, kind of like he does to our pity parties, and he says this to him. He says, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah, I'm doing a great thing here. Why are you mad? Well, Jonah doesn't answer. Instead, he tries to run away from God a second time, so he went out of the city. First time he ran away from God, he went and got on the boat. Remember, he decides, I ain't going that waterway again. I'm staying away from the water. He goes out to the east side of the city. Underline this, if you would, please. There he made himself a shelter. And obviously we're going to see that when we try to build our own shelters, they never work. So he built himself a shelter and he sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. So we know from the text that he spent 3 days walking through the city. His message was 40 days, then the judgment. So he's now got 37 days to sit and watch and see what God's going to do. What should he have been doing them 37 days? He should have been teaching those people how to repent, what God requires, how to worship the great Jehovah. But instead, he makes himself a shelter, and he sits there, and he's probably looking like this. Oh, I can't wait for hellfire and brimstone. Jonah's a Baptist, man. Hellfire, brimstone, and whatever you do, don't hold hands. I'm sorry. No, I'm really not. Verse 6. And the Lord God prepared a plant. Oh, now we're seeing something else that God is preparing. First, he prepared a great fish. He had prepared the people's heart to receive his message. Now, he also prepared this plant, but remember, Jonah made himself a shade. But God had something better in mind. God wanted to provide him comfort. Friends, a lot of us people, we give up the comfort that the Holy Spirit is wanting to give us for something that we make ourselves that is temporary at best. Does that make sense? He had prepared this plant, and talk about miracle grow. Check it out. He made it come up over Jonah. So this plant grew fast, and it was big enough to cover the shade that he made. And it covered his head and delivered him from his misery. When you make your own shade, when you're trying to sit under your own shelter and under your own works, you're usually sitting in misery, amen? Now, we tend to think that this shade, this plant grew up over the shade that Jonah made. It doesn't say that. It might have. But the text leads us to believe this was something separate, because this was something God had prepared. Friends, God has got something prepared great for you. Don't settle for what you made for yourself. Right? So Jonah was very grateful for the plant, because obviously his shade just wasn't working out. Verse 7, but as the morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. Well, now God's preparing a worm. Now, this had to be a dandy worm, because it damaged the plant so much that the plant withered. Now, did it wither in 1 day, 2 days? We don't know. He's out there for 37 days learning from God this stuff. But it withers. Verse 8, and it happened when the sun arose that God prepared. Now, here's something else God prepared. A vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint, and he wished death for himself, for he said, it is better for me to die than to live. So God is causing all these things to happen that's just devastating him. Now remember, God had to bring him to the end of himself inside this well's belly. Now God's got to bring him to the end of himself up on this mountain, and he just wants to die. Now we get to the lesson that God wants to teach him. Verse 9, God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, is it right for me to be angry even to death? But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you had not labored, nor did you make it grow, which came up in a night and it perished in a night. Jonah, let's look at your priorities here. You're freaking out over a plant that you couldn't produce on your own. That I made this beautiful. I did all of this stuff. And you're all uptight about it. Verse 11, now here's where God brings the point home. And God says, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right and their left and much livestock? What he's talking about here is the people who can't, for the overhead bonded, please, Deuteronomy 139, we learn this is talking about little children. Moreover, your little ones and your children who you say will be victims who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there. To them I will give it and they shall possess it. Not knowing your right hand from your left is like not knowing good from evil. They're so small they haven't even learned. And God says, Jonah, okay, if you're mad at the adults, what about the kids? Friends, we've got a world full of children that spiritually speaking don't know the difference between the right hand and their left. And God says, why shouldn't I care for them like I care for you? Because I made them in my image, right? He said, and not only their children, but what about the animals? They didn't do anything. Why should you be happy I destroy them? Well, the interesting thing about this story is we don't know what happens. What did Jonah do? Did he repent? We know that Nineveh repented, but we also learned from the book of Nahum that it only lasts them about 150 years because in 150 years from the days of Jonah, God does bring them destruction for the same sins that they were repenting of in the book of Jonah, right? So, what's the point? The point is, friends, we may not understand and we may not approve of everything that's going on in the world, but we must remember that God loves people, salvation is of the Lord, and we need to get the message of salvation out to the world, right? That's the bottom line to the whole thing. And I'm done. Amen. Told you, that was a short one, right? But friends, I think we need to take this fascinating story and use it to encourage ourselves to support getting the message of the gospel out. Because we do know, just like Nineveh was warned of a judgment coming, friends, I've read the book of Revelation, and there's some unpleasant times coming for the same reasons that Nineveh was facing judgment. Now, we can't stop the judgments of Revelation from happening. That's going to happen. But we can bring the gospel message to the people so they don't have to suffer through them, right? So let's quit looking at ourselves and let's start looking at a lost world. And let's start bringing the message of hope and salvation to that lost world. Does that sound good? Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. Worship team, join me up here. Bonnie, would you put that scripture back up in Luke? Here's what I'm going to end with. I'm sorry, Matthew. Matthew 12:41, Jesus is saying, I read this before, but drop down to the last line. Jesus said, indeed, one greater than Jonah is here, and he was speaking of himself. Friends, Jesus Christ came, the Son of God. He came so you and I don't have to face any type of judgments. See, Jonah was, as we saw, a very flawed man, but Jesus was the perfect man. And he died on the cross to pay for our sin. Isn't that great? That's how much God loves us. God is so awesome. Well, just before we pray, I just want to let you know that if you're visiting with us, this may be a little bit different church service than what you're used to. We're just going through the Bible. Next week we do have a special service, and everyone is asking me, Clay, you keep promoting the sneak peek into the marriage series. What is the sneak peek? You got to come next week to peek at it. Because I'm sneaky like that. Then we will get into the marriage series, and that is based out of the Song of Solomon, or your Bible might even have the Song of Songs. So praise the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. And Lord, would you encourage us, Lord, to keep evangelism in the forefront. Father, there is a very desperate world out there. And Father, one of the things that I didn't talk much about, but I recognize in that book, was the repentance of the Ninevites. Father, they were a horrible, horrible, cruel, mean, wicked people. But your word touched their hearts and changed their lives. Father, I thank you that there is nobody beyond your ability to reach. So Lord, today, I want to pray that you would cause each and every one of us, Lord, to reexamine our lives. What can we do? How can we get the gospel message out, Lord God? Father, may our message not be like Jonah in the fact that he spoke out of anger. He spoke out of wanting judgment to come. Lord, may we be motivated by love and by your goodness. Lord, may we be motivated by the blessings that you want to give to people, by the healing and hope that you grant that can only be gotten through you, Father. May that be our motivation. Father, today I pray that you'd help each and every one of us take these scriptures, Lord, take this story, this short book of Jonah, this amazing story, Lord. And Father, may we think upon it, may we meditate on it, and Holy Spirit, would you enlighten us even more on the lessons of Jonah. Lord, would you make an individual application of this teaching to our lives, Father. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today who might be running from you, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would put a stop to their delay. Father, I pray if there's anyone here today who might be like the Ninevites, recognizing and realizing that they need to make a change, I pray that today would be that change. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today who's like Jonah and the fact that we find ourselves more interested in our own comfort than in the salvation of the world. Holy Spirit, would you reset our focus. Father, many of us are trusting in our own shelters that we build. And we find in doing that, Lord, we're just maintaining our own misery. But Lord, you've got something better prepared for us. So Lord, today would you break that pride that's in each of us, that's stopping you, Holy Spirit, from doing the work that only you can do. Lord, do great and mighty things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.